Well, the traveler, he was a Christian traveler, once said to a switchman on the railroad who was in charge of the switches where five tracks converge. The Christian said to that switchman who had a huge responsibility of those five tracks, "Yours must be a very responsible position." That switchman in turn replied, "Yes, it is, but nothing compared to yours as a Christian." Do you realize, do I realize, does our country realize that when we become Christians, we have a huge, huge responsibility? And I say that because when we look at the shape of our country, and I know when I sit here and I tell myself this is the core group coming back, they don't need to be pounded on. They don't need to be beat on. We need to be reminded of our responsibilities. And because there is so few who come back to hear these messages of where the Lord is really speaking to His core group of people, I don't want to keep beating you guys up. See, this morning, all the ladies left here and they had their heads up and they were smiling and said, "Great sermon today." And all the men was on the back side of them like this. And I just reach over and mention to the men, "Mother's Day is coming." No, it's coming. Once it's passed, it's coming again, Terry. And if nothing else, I'll just say, "Hey, I missed a great opportunity on this past Mother's Day. I'm going to get you today." But isn't it something how sometimes we feel beat up and banged up? And I feel often as God is leading me on the Wednesday and Sunday nights like I'm just beating up a core group. I don't want to beat us up. I want us, the core group, to take what we are learning and what we are praying for and take that and spread that out to the group that's not showing up here for the prayer meetings and these times together. Amen? So we have a great responsibility as Christians. Here's what we need to understand. When we accept Christ, we are a member of the church. That is not joining a church. When you get saved, washed in the blood, born again, your name gets written down in glory, and you are a member of the church. Then you find a church, a local church that believes this Bible from front to back. When it says these words are inspired by God, they are holy, they are inspired, they're infallible, they're inerrant. You find a church that preaches the Bible. You find a group of people that believes the Bible. Then you are part of a church, that's the local church. So, when you get saved, you are automatically a member, a part of the family of God, the church. Everybody got that? And then you find a local church to come together and carry out your responsibilities. You find a team that you can gather in the locker room a few times a week that you can get the game plans and you can learn and you can go back out there on the playing field, or if you will, the mission field, to make a difference. So, when we get saved, here's the responsibilities of the church. Number one, it must be attended. We must attend the church. Are you getting sick and tired of hearing about Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some? Are you getting tired of hearing how about when we come here, we're to stir one another up in love and encourage one another in good works? I hope you're not getting tired of hearing it, and I'm going to pound it on this bunch on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights so we can go and we can pound it in that bunch, because people that tell me they are saved and they don't have to come and they don't have to be a part of the church, they are failing miserable on their responsibility as a Christian when they're not gathering with the church at a church. It must be attended. And see, we get our priorities all out of whack. And I was trying to ask my wife questions about this deal that went on at Tulsa. I guess it's a Trump rally. I guess it's a, so let me try my best to illustrate it, not understanding exactly what happened, but I think I understand enough of it for us to get the point. When you look up the word church in the Greek, it's a word that starts with an E, and somebody here can say it. Ecclesia. Thank you. That is so good. I'm going to bring you the mic next time, Cindy. Say it one more time. Ecclesia. Now, I can't say it, but it's a political word. Here's the problem. When I say church, we automatically think of a building or a denomination. Do we not? It's what we think of. Well, when the Bible was written, that word that I can't say, she can say it 17 times and I still won't be able to say it. It was a political term. And it was used like the Republicans. When you think of Republicans, do you think of a building? No, you think of a group of people that what? Has the same convictions, the same beliefs for the most part. When you say Democrats, what do you think of? A building? Not really. You think of a group of people that has mostly the same convictions. Are you with me? So why is it when we say the church, we begin to think of denominations or a building? The church is actually a people, a group of people, not a building, not a denomination, that when we get saved, we have the same beliefs, the same convictions. And we must gather together to encourage one another in those beliefs, in those convictions, and try to bring victory and those convictions around those people, to those people around us, right? And so what was they saying? They was begging people, Republicans, get over here to the Trump rally. How many people show up has a lot to do if we win the election. Am I anywhere close to right? You guys are looking at me awful funny. I can't help that I can't say ecclesia. Did I get it close? It's vital when they go to competing against one another that their supporters show up and they hear from the leaders our agenda, our convictions, our beliefs. And then it's important that they go out and they begin to spread that, try to get their guy elected. Are you staying up with me? So they want people showing up at these rallies because they're Republicans, because they're Democrats. And they know it's vital to have crowds come together and hear from the leadership and spread out. Can you see that in the church? We want people to come together, not to a building, as people that have the same convictions, the same belief. And we want to take this book and we want to share this with the group of people. Not a building, a group of people that should have the same convictions, the same belief, and then we should want to leave here after attending the rallies and go out there with our convictions and what we believe and spread that with others. And when we fail to come together and our numbers get down, guess what? We're going to get defeated. And that's what's happening when people say, I can be a Christian and not have to go to church. They're not coming to the rallies. They're not coming to the place where people have the same convictions. And what's happening in our country today? The other side. The lost, the undone, the atheists, the infidels. Guess what? They're rallying together. They're coming against God and His army. And because we don't attend the rallies and we don't get behind the rallies, guess what? If we're not careful, we can be in trouble. When people say they are Christians and they don't come to the, not Trump rallies, the Christ rallies, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we are failing miserable in our responsibility. And I know I'm talking to the group that's here, but we need to share that with the group that's not. Amen? So when we get saved, we're part of the church. We're part of a group of people, same conviction, same belief. We need to stir one another up. We need to encourage one another. And we need to go out there and we need to rally and we need to lift our beliefs and our convictions up. And all of God's people said, amen. Then secondly, we must defend the church. We must defend what we stand for. in Titus chapter 2, and I know you guys say, man, there's just certain verses that I think they've got everything in them that we need. And I use them so often. And Titus 2:15 comes by behind the verses that you hear me quote often. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And what's he do? He teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And he teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And as we're doing that, we're to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Listen to this. And purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You hear me quote that quite a bit, don't you? But there's one more verse in that chapter. You know what Paul told Titus? Speak these things. Speak about the grace of God. Speak about the second coming. Live godly, live righteously. He's telling him all that, and then he says, speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority, and he says, let no one despise you. So not only do we as the church, as Christians, attend it, we must defend it. Paul said, speak these things. What has happened in America? A country where we've gained the freedom of speech. It seems like everybody is speaking and standing up and defending what they believe, minus the church. It seems like we say, oh, we got to obey the laws of the land, and they're telling us, shut up. Our Constitution tells us we have the freedom of speech. It does not matter when a media or someone don't agree with us. That does not take away our freedom to still take a stand and defend the holy, inspired, infallible word called the Bible. And I am amazed at what they have done to us and told us to shut our mouths. And the book that we preach us tells us what? Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with what? All authority. What did Jesus say before he ascended? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then Paul tells Titus, speak these things. Don't walk around some liver-lilied lace on your Levi's guy. Speak these things. Take a stand. Defend the church that Christ died for. And all of a sudden in our country, everybody's got the freedom of speech and everybody's defending their convictions and their beliefs except the church. And folks, when we don't stand up and defend the church, guess what? We deny our great responsibility that's given to us. Just like we deny our great responsibility when we don't attend the church. So we attend it, we defend it, and then we must extend it. And how we extend it, number one, we share our Jesus. Remember in Acts 1:8, he's fixing to ascend back up. Boy, Rob, we're on simple verses tonight. We are on simple verses. Because I'm telling you, and you've heard me say it so many times before, extraordinary people don't do extraordinary things. They do simple and ordinary fundamentals really well. And because they do them so well, the simple things, people think they're extraordinary. They're not. They are just fundamentally sound. And here, it's a simple fundamental. When Jesus was fixing to ascend back to heaven, he simply said, wait right here. My Holy Spirit's going to come. And when he comes, he's going to give you power. And you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses right here in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria. And then you're going to spread throughout. And so, we extend the church by sharing Jesus. And I want you folks to know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I sure am glad that those early Christians, if you're listening, say I am, fulfilled their responsibility of extending the church. They didn't just stay in Jerusalem, they went to Judea, Samaria, and they are at the ends of the earth, and you and I are saved, we are hell escaped, and we are heaven bound, because those early Christians decided to take their responsibility seriously, and they began to share Jesus, and because they did, we have Jesus, and we ought to understand somebody's dependent on us for us to fulfill our responsibility, and we need to share Jesus. Is it not sad to you when you read the stats that 90% of Christians never win anybody to Jesus? Folks, if you're not sharing your faith, take away the winning them to Jesus. If you're not sharing your faith, you're miserably failing in the responsibility that God gave you. But then how do we extend the church? Not only by sharing Jesus, but shining for Jesus. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. For what reason? So you can be puffed up and blowed up? So your church can grow? No, that they may see your good works and then they can glorify your Father who is in heaven. That means when they see your life, they see your concern, they see you carrying out your God-given responsibility in the church, that they may see that and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. I think I said it this morning. Spurgeon said, I would not give much for your Christianity if it cannot be seen. Spurgeon said a mouthful, folks. He said, I wouldn't give much for your Christianity if it cannot be seen. If people cannot see your light shine, a great man of God says, I wouldn't give much for it. Let me break that down in layman's terms. I wouldn't trust it to keep me out of hell and get me into heaven. That's what he's saying. And I like a little quote I read, a lighthouse beats no drum, it beats no gong. And yet, far over the water, its friendly spark is seen by the mariner. Can you understand tonight, as a Christian, you become part of the church. And when you become part of the church, a Christian, you, every one of us, not just behind the pulpit, but right out there in the pews, we are given a great responsibility. And that is to attend the church, to defend the church, and to extend the church. And so, here it is. What do we do, preacher? The church must come together and take a stand. That's what we do. We have to come together and take a stand. I know, and I don't know if Dave preached it Wednesday night, but he made mention of in the staff meeting about that country song. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And it seems like because our lack of attending the church and our lack of defending the church and our lack of extending the church, people don't know what they stand for. Therefore, they fall for anything. Just chasing the newest and what seems like the best idea. And as a church, we must stand together. And when I say stand together, and I look at what's going on in our nation, it seems to me like it's easier to get evil, haters, and rioters to come together than it is for the church to come together. How many of them have been here when we tried to do community crusades? Try to get 8 or 9 churches together, and they just seem like they miserably fail. You can't get God's people to come together. There's preachers scared to death. Well, if we go do something, they might go to that church. If that's where the Lord's leading them, let them go to that church. That guy I led to Jesus on Friday right there in our building, I said, and let me tell you, the first thing you need to do, you need to get in church somewhere. He just said amen in the sinner's prayer. And I said, you need to get in church somewhere. And he looked at me and he said, be all right to come here? Folks, I wasn't promoting our church. I told him I recommended it. I said, you just have to give it 6 weeks. You'll either hate me or love me. One or the other. I ain't found very many. It's in between on me. So, listen, that's just what, I'm not promoting our church. If this is where you want to come, and this is where you want to worship, and this is where you want to be encouraged and stir one another up so you can go, that's great. But as I said, you've got to get into church. And so look here, am I the only one that it seems like the evil and the haters can come together easier than we can get our churches together? They'll stand against something. They'll travel across the country in large groups And did you see the exciting Southeast, the little live post I'd done on my side by side? I got a call from a pastor. He said, we need to come together and pray at 6 o'clock. He called me and he said, can you give your people permission? I said, do what? He said, I know that sounds crazy, but if you'll get on their live, some people think they have to have permission to walk into another church and pray. I said, I'll get on there, but they don't ask me permission to sin. Surely they'd ask it. I mean, I don't. That's why I got on there for just a few minutes. And I encouraged you. I thought they had a great cause. And did you catch on there? I understand people have scheduled events. And sometimes if you can prioritize them and move them. We couldn't yesterday, but can I tell you what our bunch done yesterday? It was shortly after 6. We walked out of the barn. We walked out of the barn where we was pulling cedars and giving shots. And we got it together and we prayed for Tulsa. That was the whole deal. I guess I hadn't heard of no killings over there. Ain't heard of no businesses. And we can say, well, the police was there and they was all ready for that. Can we say that? Or was there enough church people in this Bible Belt come together and prayed for God's hedge of protection over that city? I don't know that. But I know one thing. Our prayers of coming together as all the churches cannot hurt. And I said this Wednesday night at Telequal. What if God raises up a pastor in Oklahoma or Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Missouri? He just raises up a pastor that's going to lead a bunch of A churches together to do something, to pray, to come together and for revival. What if God does that? And it's not Rob. And it's not Jeff Blair. It's not this pastor or that pastor. But God raises him up. I got a question for us. Are we going to get behind him? Are we going to come together if we know God's leading them to do that? We say yes. But I can read body language when I talk about going from Prior to Telequal to help with Vacation Bible School. Folks, if we can't grasp one church, two campuses at Exciting Southeast, we will never grasp coming together to take a stand against what's happened in our country. Write that down. And I see that. And that concerns me to the furthest extent. If you can't get one church, two campuses come together. And I mentioned that to Dave. I said, listen, we are part of the church. All churches. Wouldn't it be nice? And I know it ain't going to happen. There's too much. Wouldn't it be nice to have one huge Bible school in a city and let the kids come from all over and all kinds of people show up in the park or somewhere from all these different churches to have one huge Vacation Bible School and let the lost and dying world say, man, look at the church. They say, look at Exciting Southeast, First Baptist, First Assembly of God. Wouldn't that be neat? Well, then why don't it happen? Folks, we got to take a stand and we got to come together as a church because the Bible tells us a divided house don't stand. And it seems like the evil one, the wicked, the haters, the rioters, they're coming together. And if we don't come together and we stay divided, they win. That concerns me. The 12 and 20 group, Matt Jones sent this back because we was a lot of the same deal. And we've heard this statement or close to it, but he put it exactly how it's quoted and who wrote it. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke. I'm going to read it one more time. The only thing necessary. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Can I ask you, where was the church when Bibles and prayer and Ten Commandments was leaving the schoolhouses and the courthouses? Where was the church? I can tell you where they wasn't. They wasn't standing together and coming against evil. And now we've got a bigger battle on our hands of trying to rally the troops and take a stand now. So, great responsibility. We must come together and stand. But I'm going to lead us into our prayer time. You ready? We must come together and kneel. We will never be able to stand until we first knelt. We will never know how we're to come together until we first kneel and seek God and get our directions from Him and what we're supposed to do. And you have prayer meetings, and you get up and you try to give a little old short devotion and encouragement. And man, I am so tickled to see more of us moving into prayer and more of us being doers of the Word when we come to a prayer meeting. And so I think it's going to be vital, and only God knows when these prayer meetings, that they may be a thing from now until Jesus comes back on Wednesday and Sunday nights, more time in prayer than the other services. Cowboy logic, are you ready for some of it? Ready for some cowboy logic? Sometimes cowboy logic's just pretty simple. You ready for this? He who is doing nothing is seldom without helpers. He who is doing nothing is seldom without help. I know I've got the core group here. I know I've got prayer warriors here. I know I've got people that's hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Because the church has done nothing, we've had all kinds of help doing it. It's time to do something. Ready for one more statement? If you don't change directions, you may end up where you're headed. If you don't change directions, you may end up where you're headed. If America don't change directions, she's going to end up where she's headed. And I've said it again, I'll say it before. The tool that God will use to change a nation that He birthed and that He's always blessed, the tool He will use to change her directions, you're it. We're it. It's the church. Amen. Let's all stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here tonight, we're fixing to enter into prayer as Christians. Matter of fact, I would invite Christians to come to these altars as quick as now. That you would be on your knees and you would be praying and you would be seeking the Lord. You would be listening to see what your part and what your service is. But if you're here tonight, and Christians are heading into these altars to fulfill their responsibility to pray for our country, to pray for our church, to pray for our brothers and sisters that's in a battle with sickness, with health. If you're out there tonight and you've never prayed the sinner's prayer, if you're out there tonight and there's not a time and place where you was convicted from the Scriptures, you had a sweet call from the Holy Spirit upon your heart, and if there's never been a time and place that you've answered that call and said, Jesus, I know that's you. I know I'm a sinner, and I know you died on the cross for me, and I'm crying out for forgiveness and salvation. If you've never done that and you've never had a change in your life, the most important prayer you'll pray is the sinner's prayer, not a service prayer. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here, you're lost and undone. And you know you're lost and you know you're hell-bound. But the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart tonight. And you know you need to pray the sinner's prayer. You know you need to be saved. I would love to show you in the Bible what that means and how to take care of that. If that's you, just a slip of the hand. If there's any hands go up, I'm going to be here and available. All right. Many are already in these altars and many are already praying. If you want to use your seat for an altar or you want to come up here, I just still think there's power in coming to the front to these altars. But you got a chance to fulfill a responsibility, and that is to kneel. And so Brother Dave's going to play softly, and we need to come and we need to pray for our country.